This is the day God's been giving me some downloads over the last week, words for the coming year, and a message, and then some more words, and it's long. It doesn't start out with the best word. As the Lord said, 2015 will be a year of growing pains. I don't like that. Growing pains hurt. I used to get those in my legs and get up all night long where my mom would rub my legs with those growing pains. But it will be pain with purpose that hurts so good. Surgical increase, so God can cut away some things out of our life so that our health, our spiritual health, can improve. Where He's taking us is to a place of glorifying Him in the pain, during the pain. I believe the surgery I'm getting ready to go through is a parallel picture of what the church is getting ready to go through. What God gave me as I thought about that, because I didn't want, you know, I started thinking, I could put this off. I don't really want to go get this surgery. I think I could find a way to weasel out of it. You know, I'm pretty good at that, you know. I don't want to go through it because I've been through major surgeries before. I've got incisions from here to there and there to there and there to there, and I've been cut every way they can cut me. Oh, and one on the wrist. And I know what it's like to go through a major surgery. It's excruciating, painful, especially that first day when you're just, you know, oh, God, take me to heaven. You know, I can't endure this. And I didn't want to go through it. But when the Lord said, I have a purpose in it. You know, I'm going to go over and have this on the other side of state and stay at my daughter's house for a week. The first week. And I was really kicking. Why can't I be in my own house where I'm more comfortable? And finally the Lord said, because it's not about you. It's about me. I'm going to glorify myself through you to those on the other side of the state. I have things I want to say to them. I have things I want to show them. Well, then I'm really messed up because I'm thinking, you know, when I'm sick, I don't feel spiritual. I don't want to witness to anybody. I want y'all to leave me alone. I don't even want, do I, hon? I don't even want him to come in and touch me. Don't come feel sorry for me. Just stay away. Leave me alone. Give me some sleeping pills or something. You know, I just want to sleep until this is over. I don't feel like being a good testimony. When I'm sick, I think it is all about me, you know? So I'm, well, God, I can't glorify you when I'm in that kind of pain. On top of, I get super loopy on one little cold pill, and they're going to load me up with pain medicine and muscle relaxants. I don't know what I might say. And God said, you don't need to worry about it. I don't need your help. I am going to do what I do through you over there, and you don't even need to try to help me. I got it. It's a picture. I get to be, you know, the prophet who laid in the street for 365 days and he drew pictures in the sand and he told Israel, this is a picture of what God's going to do to you. Well, now you're all going to feel real sorry for me because my surgery is a picture of what God's getting ready to do to you, burning bush. I'm drawing a picture. I can't endure it. Neither can you. I can't glorify God. Neither can you. But it, when we are weak, when we are humbled, when we are helpless, if we just hang on to Him, cuddle up with God, and just let Him do what He wants to do, He will glorify Himself through us. So we're going to be going through some cutting away and some growing pains. But during it, you know, anybody can praise God when everything's wonderful. But trusting Him when things don't look wonderful, that's not as easy. But He said, stay close. Hold on to Him in times of pain. Close your eyes. Hug. Cuddle up to God. And let Him carry you until the lights come on. And He says, now, open your eyes and see what I've done. Open your eyes and see the glory. Now it's time to rejoice. That day is coming. I don't know what that means. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how we're going to do that. I don't know when it begins. I don't know what any of this means. But then he began to give me some time. He said mid-March to the end of March will be significant. You know, I write in calendars for all my daughters, and I prophesy in their calendars, and I write encouragement and whatever God brings to my mind, verses. Every time I got to March in the calendars, before he gave me this word, every time I got to March, there was like a pause in me saying, what is it about March? Something big about March. And then when I was writing this and God said, mid to the end of March will be significant. Transition time. That's all he said about March. But there is something really important about March. April will be full of showers. And the church will bloom in May. Beautiful colors will be seen in people. Watch them bloom. Networking marriages in June. Be open to new relationships in ministries. There will be more outreach and more inreach. There's a kiss of fire. I felt God kiss my lips. And it was like sudden fire burst when he gave me this. I was in a vision while all this came. Remember last week I told you I folded my arms? When he started saying March, April, when he starts giving me times, I'm like, oh, I don't like getting that specific. You know, I'm. What if these things aren't really? What if it's my imagination? We always hear April showers bring May flowers, and that's what it sounded like. And that's why I said, okay, April showers bringing May flowers. I think I'm just going with what I've imagined. That's when God took my face and said, look me in the eyes and unfold your arms of doubt. I'm saying these things. And he kept me eye to eye. So this is, I don't think I've ever been more sure of a word than what God's been giving me in the last week. And it has already changed me. Something, just the time I spent in his presence getting this has already changed me. Something is different. I loved my cat the other morning. I don't really like cats. We have one for him, and she follows me around, wants to get on my lap, and I go, okay, pet, pet, now get down. You know, I don't like you on my lap. And the other morning I was just, oh, good morning, lullaby. And I'm going, what is going on? I'm loving the cat. Something's up here. Must be God. Don't waste that on a cat, God. Give it to a person. God loves his cats, too. But this kiss, when he kissed my lips, it just, shoo, I could feel that fire down in my belly. And he said that his words will be on fire. And they're going to heat up the church and start some fires. Burning, burning, burning flames. Burning bush ablaze. You know, we need to hang on to that when we're in surgery and pain. Burning bush ablaze. It's coming. September. School begins anew. Time to teach and train some new recruits. We're going to have new people. New teachers must step into position. Be ready and willing to fill your position. Fall is a time to step up or fall back. A fall back will bring personal delays to some, a full year behind, or a leap forward of 3 times increase. October opens new paths for those who follow. Deeper and beautiful and intimate places, secret places with Jesus. Deeper levels of revelations for some people. Deeper healing for some. Levels of discovery and unleash things I cannot describe. I don't even know how to describe that, but sometimes you get a glimpse in the spirit and you cannot find words. And there's just some unleashed discoveries coming to us. For those who hunger, and appoint God the time to go there. The way higher leads down first into realms of the unknown, places unexplored, faith tested, and rewards beyond imagination at the end. It is a down path to go up. I see three. I see only three people in this vision. I mean, we all can have what I just said, but now there is something special. In the vision, I saw three people who followed one particular path to the completion. I couldn't see their faces or even their gender. It was like three shadows. Jesus had opened something into darkness, and it was just the unknown. But three people just went into it, and they went all the way through it with him. November is full of lights and colors, and I see those three standing on top of the mountain of God. And because of what they went through, these were trailblazers. They could be prayer warriors, I don't know. But whatever they did with Jesus turned the whole mountain of God into color and light and opened a path for everyone else. The entire mountain was alive with color and light and paths. There were open caves full of wonderful things. The way has been open to all who desire to come. Every level is inviting, and everyone can reach and ascend God's mountain at any level they choose during November. It's a month of invitation to climb higher with God from wherever you are. December, the lights began to fade, and the invitation began to close. There will still be time, but it's running out quickly. December ends with a frozen mountain, and those who choose to climb now must face the coldness that hinders. Rejections and persecutions will hinder the climb. Tribulations make hearts cold. Many will turn back and seek to find comfort in compromise. The world below lures some people away. Deceptions pull on hearts that are seeking comfort. But those who will hold on to the mountain of God will be given furs to wrap themselves in. Warmth is an individual blanket for those who trust and remain. Deeper love and peace will create a hot fire in the furnace of their hearts. They will endure the freezing of December, and they will find the hidden treasures of God's glory that are coming soon to the faithful. That's the first word that the Lord brought. You know, I've had words from God for other years. They come the normal way. I don't know what's different in this coming year. But sitting in that cave with his hands on my face and him looking me in the eyes, sometimes, you know, I tried to fix a word or I went back to rewrite it, and he made sure I did not change one word. It had to be exactly word for word what he said. Something very, very different this year. Very different. Go ahead, Nate.
So I just wanted to confirm something that you said. I sent out a prophetic word to a few people. I think Pastor Harvey got it. I was sensing that, this is open to everyone, but God is saying it's only applicable to your choice.
That's right. That's right. And that's why that mountain says, just as you are, wherever you are with God, you can go higher. And you can go as high as you want to go from right where you're at. It's really awesome. Anybody, you know, I want this to be open so you can internalize what we're saying. If it bears witness with something God said to you, if you have a question, I probably don't know the answer, but ask it anyway. You know, just go ahead. Put your hand up. It's not like a normal sermon here. Jump in. That was on December 28th, which was a Sunday, last Sunday morning, and I felt I couldn't share it until today. Then on Monday morning, the Lord said, there are things coming, but not necessarily the way that you're expecting. You need an open, and you know, I'm going to pause here for a minute. I almost didn't bring this to the whole body because I thought it might be for ministers or particularly prophets. And the Lord said, no, this is for anyone who hears it and wants it. Anyone. So I'm bringing it, and I hope some people want it. There are things coming, but not necessarily the way you're expecting. You need an open mind to hear or see the unexpected. It is there to see if you open your vision and expand your spiritual radar. Consider what your eyes see, then take it into the spirit realm for interpretation and understanding. Look into the unknown and expect to know. Look into darkness and expect light. Believe for revelations and they will come. Is that awesome? I would say those few lines again. Look into the unknown and expect to know. God has given us an expectation spirit of looking at something and saying, I don't know what I'm seeing, God, but I expect you to show me. Open my eyes in the spirit. I expect you to show me because you told me to expect. See, we got a word saying, if you'll expect, I'll meet it. If you'll expect to see light and darkness, I'll show you the light. Amen. If you expect it, you're going to get it. You want revelations? Expect them, and he'll bring them. Seekers will find. Those in complacency will remain blind. Words will be given only to those who will speak them. You know, God will come to speak to you, comfort, love, but I'm talking about prophetic words, revelatory words, powerful words, words of what God is getting ready to do. He's going to give them to you if you will speak them. You don't have to have been through training. You don't have to be in any certain, oh, I'm really walking on high ground with God because I live so nice. No, he's going to give these words to people who will speak them. Mursad is one of them. He showed us that this morning. It is a time for truth to be spoken, not held in fearful hearts. Boldness and faith must join hands and raise up the banner of spoken truth, declared revelation. Faith will move mountains. Amen. Fear will hide in caves. I see people who seek God coming very, very close in relationship, filled with a greater love for him. Those are the ones, I went into another vision here, and those are the ones I see standing before his great presence as he's constructing military uniforms on them. But I see them like white light, just pure white light. The body is being wrapped around every body part from head to toe, every little finger. He's just spinning white light, constructing something on them in preparation. The light is their armor, preparing them to be sent into battles. It is constructed of pure agape love from God. This love is all they need. This is the power, the motivation, the only thing that equips us to go. To stand in the face of the enemy, clothed in the love of God. This is acquired as we grow in deeper love and relationship with him. It is increased each time we encounter his love. That was the second word. I can read those words. I can't make them live. But I'm telling you, God has done something of revelation, showing me the power of that love. The power of his love is how his glory, and we've said it a million times, but we have not owned it. If you've ever felt his love flow through you, and you've seen, it's different. It's different than anything we have or experienced. It's going to increase beyond anything we've ever known or experienced. And it is that very love that can raise the dead, heal the sick, reach right inside and bring conviction to a heart and bring them to repentance. That's the love that can do it. Not logic, not reasoning. It's love. His love. And he wants to clothe us in it so that when we touch somebody, the love of God just flows right in to that tumor and shrinks it because of his compassion. I felt some of that love because I've been asking God for a baptism of love. I said, I want to be submerged in your love. I want to be drowned completely in your love. And something is beginning to increase. This morning when DBJ was up there, I mean, it was like, okay, it's a man and I'm a woman. So, you know, I could just feel God wanting to swoop him up and hug him and kiss all over him. And I'm going, can't do that. So I went up and said to Glenn, here, take this. Look at me. Go put that on his head, Glenn. You know, I can't go kiss him on the head like that. You do it. And it still wasn't enough. I'm sitting in my seat just gushing with this love of God. And I went, God, I can't contain it. If you don't do something, I'm going to have to go up there and start just hugging on him. And then all of a sudden, he opened my spiritual eyes, and there were the angels doing it. Angels were pouring that love. And it was like, oh my gosh, the love of God. And they were feeling honored that he chose them and allowed them to deliver some of his love. Of course, Jesus ended up the last one, kissing him himself. His love is just amazing. And he wants us clothed in it. Why don't you just keep it? The mic. Come on, Nate, brother prophet here. You might as well just hang on to it because I know you're not going to be able to resist.
I'll sit down. Talking about that love, and I had a thought this week. We talk about the presence of God, right? You want the presence. When you walk in the room, you want the presence of love living in you, through you, on you. And then my next thought was, my question was to all of us, what presence has God put on you that he's wanting to release when you walk in the room?
Exactly. But let me say, love is what the enemy has been out to destroy because he is hate. He knows the power of God's love. So he has spent your life trying to prevent you from loving, to make you hurt, to bind you up, to make you not trust, to put all these restrictions on you so you don't let anybody fully see you, because then God can't flow through you. You can't even function because you don't trust anyone. You're scared, you're wounded, you're defensive. See, that's why the healing has been coming. Because he doesn't just say, get out of the way, Nate, let me live through you. He says, let me repair you first, Nate. Let me heal you. Let me love you. That's why going into these intimate places with him where he loves you, where he heals you, where he does it in you, and it changes you, so now you can let him do it through you to someone else. You got to have a lot of healing, a lot of love into you first. That's why he's calling us to come closer, calling us to let him love us more. It's really amazing. Immediately at the end of that vision, God told me to go read John 11. Now, if you know what John 11 is, and where it's been in my spirit for 25 years now, it's when he calls Lazarus to get up out of the grave and live again. Now, God had shown me 25 years ago that we are going to see death defeated. It's not when he finally comes and he comes in the sky and all the graves open and everybody gets up, now death is defeated. No, things had to happen before that day for that to happen. And they had to happen through the church. He's getting ready to take us closer to defeating death. And that thrilled me. Because in John 11, I'm going to give you something from the end, and then we're going to come back to the beginning. John 11, I should have written what verse that happened in. I am the resurrection. 25. That should help me if I wrote the verses and numbers here, right? Here we go. Jesus says, I am the resurrection. He hadn't even died yet and resurrected. He himself hadn't even gotten out of the grave yet. But when he told Martha, your brother will rise again, she said, well, I know he will in the last days of the resurrection. And he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe this? And she said, Well, I believe you're Christ, the Son of God. That's where we have been living. I believe you're Christ, the Son of God. Do we believe resurrection life is Jesus already? And then do we believe he lives in us? That means we have resurrection life in us. He said, if anybody believes this and dies, he's going to raise up and live again. If anybody's alive and believes this, he shall never die. That got me 25 years ago. And I say, oh God, I guess I don't believe it because I still think I'm going to die. I guess none of us really believe it because we're all dying. And you said, shall never die. I looked that thing up every which way I could study it, and it says what it says. Shall never, ever, cannot pass through, have to die. And then we die. But you know what Jesus also said way back when they came and said, your brother is not sick unto death. And then he died. We're going to have that kind of testing of our faith this year. We're going to have that kind of testing of faith this year. Nate stole it. You have
no,
to get
it's
it.
Okay. Oh. Shall never die. Okay?
Shall
double
never die.
Negative. Strengthening is not.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Not at all. Double negative.
By any means, not at all. Never. No, never. No, not at all. In no case. Not
now,
anyway.
Now, I'm going to share with you, when God gave me this, I had a glimpse of something I'm not going to go into, but I saw all the graves open, and I saw that it was the blood of Jesus through the power of forgiveness and us forgiving each other. That's how powerful that is. But at the same time he gave me this, my sister was dying with cancer. And the Lord said to me, your sister shall not die. She shall live. And then my sister died. So I go to this chapter, and that's what he said to them, your brother will not die. And then he died. And then I read where Jesus said, if you believe I am the resurrection and the life, you'll never have to die. And I'm going, how can I believe you when I just watched my sister die right after you tell me she will not die? I don't know what to do with that. Well, I literally tried to make her get up and live again because it worked for Lazarus, but it's not what Jesus was doing. You have to have a right now faith word from him. Lazarus was dead 4 days. He was rotting and stinking, decaying, and Jesus told him to live again, and he did. So every day I'm saying, how about today? Can we go get my sister today? How about today? How about today? One day he said, what is the difference in 4 days dead and 4 years? And I went, oh man, am I going to have to wait 4 years to go get my sister? What is the difference in 4 years and 40? Oh, man, I don't know when I get to go get my sister. But my sister is just sleeping. And I believe he told me one of these days, I'm going to go get her up. I'm going to go right out to that grave, and I'm going to say, get up, and she's going to do it. It worked for Lazarus. Right, I'm going to. Well, he's probably got some pet name for her, too. I don't know. Because her name, Kay, was pet. You know, her name was Mary Catherine. He might say, Mary Catherine, get up. You know how your mom speaks when she means really do it.
If you don't name her, everybody's
going
to get up.
Oh, no, the whole graveyard, they're all up. You're right, you're right. But the point is a word of faith. Now let's go back to John 11. I'll see what time it is, and I won't let you starve to death. We're just going to take a little taste of John 11, then maybe we'll go eat and start all over at John 11. You have to have a live word of faith. Jesus, what are you doing? I can look in the Bible and say he called Lazarus forth, so I have scriptural faith to go and call everybody out of the dead. And I can go out to that cemetery all day long and nobody's getting up. But when Jesus comes to me and says, now is the day. Now is the time. Be out at that grave. I'll meet you there at 2 and we'll get her up. Well, I'll go with you at 2 because he's already in me. Then she's getting up. You know, we have to have a now faith word. I have tried out of my heart, out of my love, out of my desire to make people get healed when they don't. Sometimes I speak it, but I don't know how it's going to happen. And Melina, we spoke it. She's still alive. They were talking about doing a blood transfer infusion for her last week. Her blood count of 2,500 from what was the disease?
Like HPV virus can be cancer.
Can be cancer, a cancer count.
They used some toxin to clean her blood. We just go down there, you know, my brother down there, my son's family, Larissa, she is, thanks God, how she always pray. I just say, Larissa, who's going to pray today before the results coming? And she started to digest something, Lord, say, after 10 minutes, the doctor jumping and then Roman say, Emelina, results come, just 100.
The results came down to 100. They did no transfusion. No. But you hear, they went and prayed. Larissa, right here, this one, she prayed. God showed me something about her this morning when prophecy was breaking out. That little girl's got some faith to believe whatever God tells her he's going to do this year. And he's going to do it through her praying. Amazing. Yep. But you see, it's got to be a now word of faith, what he says he's doing. How do you know what he's doing if you don't spend time with him? If we don't increase being in his presence, being with him, we don't know what he's doing. He set it up that way because he doesn't just want to heal. He doesn't just want to do these things. He wants the relationship.
Right.
That's why you can't just go to the Bible and say, oh, I got a blanket license to go and say and do and heal, 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 because the Bible says I can. No, it's walking with him, knowing. That's why one time he put mud in an eye. One time he said, for you, it's dip in that river 7 times. For you, it's go and do this. For you, you're dead, just get up. It's different. Every time he did it, it was different. We don't know when, what, how, who, unless we're walking with him. And we have a right now word from him. But they had a word in verse A. Point A, I don't know what that verse is.
What?
When he said, this sickness is not unto death.
Four.
That's verse 4. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, he didn't even give that word to the sisters. We got Martha and Mary. They sent word. We're going to come back after lunch and just read it all. But they sent word, Jesus, come, come. Our brother's sick. We need you. They had faith. They knew if he came, he could heal them. He could heal their brother. He didn't go. He didn't even send word. These women loved him with a love, and he knew even though he didn't show up and their brother died, they would still love him. Sometimes the test comes when things we don't like happen, and we're praying and begging God, and he doesn't even answer us. You know, you should consider yourself trusted by God and you're being tested at a higher, deeper level because he knows you're going to love him even though he's not saying anything. And when we started Mercada, he had you call me every day and I gave you words from God and scripture every day. You don't get that now, do you? You don't get someone else saying, this is what God says to you today. You don't get that every day because now he knows you love him, you trust him, you talk to him yourself. Even when he's quiet, you keep trusting him. He didn't heal Emelina the day we were up there, but he told me he's going to heal Emelina.
Yes, I know.
And you have to keep holding on. And praying, Emelina says. But God has done tremendous things in your family through this time. If he would have just healed her that day, maybe nothing ever would have changed. You know? He wants more than her health. He wants all of your heart.
He's just in the process.
Yes. In process. Like we say, process. Everything has a process. But the point here is they didn't even get the word. Now the disciples who were walking with him, staying with him, right there with him, he gave them the word. This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. He said, this sickness is not unto death. And then Lazarus died. So with some, testing is, I don't hear God say anything. With others is, I clearly know what God just said to me, and the opposite happened. Opposite of what he told me happened. How do I believe him? How do I trust him when he tells me something and now it's totally impossible? They had never seen a dead person raised. If you had never, ever heard a story like that, never seen it happen yourself, and you never heard those stories, and God came and told you, your wife, don't worry, brother, she's not going to die. And then she dies. Now, how do you keep trusting what he said to you when it obviously is the opposite and there is no hope and no way it could be anything else? Do what?
Just read the verses from there.
Just read those verses?
Yeah.
We have that advantage. They didn't have those verses written yet. So he's taken them to a greater test. He's taken them to a really big test. This is where we're starting out in 2015. We're going through some great big tests. But it's because we're getting ready to see the glory of God very soon in big ways.